Thanks, Jared, and welcome everyone. It's my pleasure to be speaking at this year's Economic and Political Overview. The last time I spoke was 2 years ago, and the underlying narrative I spoke about at the time was one of an emerging recovery led by the resources sector, a new normal of steady, stable trend growth. Nothing too exciting, but nothing catastrophic either. Fast forward to 2020, and largely the same narrative holds for WA, but from a domestic economic perspective, it is a situation where it's a little bit more rockier in terms of the growth profile, and it's something that I'll explore very briefly in my 10 minutes try and explore today. So why don't I get started, given the time constraints? And ultimately, the big narrative for me and what I've observed in recent times for WA is what I've called the internal-external disconnect. It's one where we've seen our economy continue to grow, led by our external sector. Our exports continue to grow at a rapid pace, which is good news for us as a whole and certainly good news from a government perspective because it fills the government coffers. But from a domestic perspective, we haven't seen the same growth. And that really is reflected when we tried to give a one-slide summary of how this disconnect is emerging. And what we've tracked here is gross state product, the broadest measure of WA's economy over time, and married that up against what I see as the closest proxy to the overall health of the WA economy, which is full-time employment growth. And what we see in this chart here is something where the two series do follow quite closely. They certainly did up until 2012 when the resources investment boom ended, and what we've seen is a structural break in that series, or in the, I guess, the correlation of those series over time. In effect, what we've seen is full-time employment, which really is fundamental to the health of the domestic economy, has actually gone backwards. We've actually lost 30,000 full-time jobs in this state since 2015. So, that's a big brain drain loss for the state and does come with other consequences as well. Some of those impacts which I've touched on to the right there, where you have not only people, which is fundamental input into any business, and skilled workers in particular, but they also, the skilled workers, when they're employed, are a fundamental part of the functioning of our economy as well. And without those jobs, what it means is we've had this slack in the labour market, which has seen real wages go nowhere. In effect, only up by about 0.3% per annum over the last 3 years. As a consequence of the slack in the labour market, we've seen 48,000 people leave this state to move to other jurisdictions in the country, a massive loss of talent and skills. And the market impacts domestically are quite profound as well. And we can all observe that the housing market really has gone nowhere for the last 12 years. Our median house price is now lower than it was back in 2007. And retailers, and we all hear about the troubles that retailers are facing, both in terms of technology change, but also the fact that the market isn't really supporting the retail sector as much as it has historically. And that's because the market is shrinking, because of the exodus of people and the lack of population growth, but also we don't have the income growth that that can support retail spending as well. So the economy is growing, but the big challenge and why jobs is the number one priority of any government is really there to see. On the other hand, though, from an external perspective, things have never been stronger. ACIL Allen created a commodity price index for WA for the purposes of this presentation today, just to highlight how positive conditions are from a commodity prices perspective. It's near record highs for Western Australia, and you've seen that great uplift. You've seen big increases in iron ore, nickel, gold, oil and gas, which all have supported that commodity price index rising to those highs. The impact of that is quite profound when you look at exports. In 2019, WA exported products to the value of $182 billion in 2019. 10 years ago, it was just $70 billion. So there has been a massive increase in the amount of the value of exports coming out of this state over the last 10 years. And what that's created is it's incentivised miners to start to look at exploring again. The conditions are right for them to look at exploring, and we have seen a big uplift in exploration, both in terms of minerals and also oil and gas, with an over doubling of the amount of exploration expenditure in the last 3 years alone. So a very positive story there from an external perspective that unfortunately hasn't really translated into domestic economic activity as much as what we've historically seen. Really is, I guess, the state of play. I've got 5 minutes left, and I think in that time I'd like to talk over three critical challenges which I think are important in the context of that overall perspective on the WA economy. The first is the jobs challenge. I've sort of introduced that topic already, and it's an important subject matter. We're in this resources cycle, and traditionally Western Australia has followed a resources cycle, and we have seen strong growth during the capital investment phase, and then a levelling off of growth in jobs during the operational phase. If we are to look at creating sustainable jobs growth outside and break out of that resources investment cycle, then we need to look at other sectors. Now, I wouldn't be a good consultant if I didn't use a matrix to convey messages, and so here's one here. What we're trying to present here is an indication of some of the sectors of the economy where Western Australia is underweight compared to other jurisdictions, but also that they're quite jobs intensive. And so some of those jobs, sectors there are presented in this chart, ranging from those creative industries to tourism, education, healthcare services and professional services. These are sectors of the economy which have above average job opportunities relative to other sectors. But for Western Australia, if we are able to capture those opportunities, we can generate above average growth from a jobs perspective if we're to get our share or certainly reach the levels that we've seen in other parts of the country. So that really is why governments are looking at this and why diversification, which is a topic I'm sure is going to be spoken about with other speakers through the course of the events today. Diversification is such an important issue for the state to address. We can't continue to rely on the resources sector to do all the heavy lifting. You know, there are other sectors where we can do great things. There are opportunities. It's just up to us to capture those. The second one, briefly, is the productivity challenge, or what I've termed the productivity challenge. Western Australia, like Australia, has been below par in terms of its productivity performance over a number of years now. We do need to look at productivity growth because long-term it's productivity that matters most in terms of generating growth and opportunity for citizens. While the mining sector has been quite productive in recent times, that's a reflection of what it's been doing in terms of investing vast sums of money in building up new projects, investing in upgrading existing projects, and they're realising those gains now in terms of the wealth effects of that. If I was to point to WA in two slides, what I can see is critical for us to resolve the productivity challenge for Western Australia is to look at our human capital and to look at business investment. From a human capital perspective, we have to reverse the brain drain if we're to try and build up that human capital that we need to foster the growth and opportunity that comes with investing and growing your business. We've had nearly 50,000 people leave the state over the last 6 years alone. It's a massive number of skilled people that are leaving this state. We need to look at ways of supporting these people to stay here. And then in terms of business investment, we can't continue to rely on the miners to invest vast sums of money. We need to look at the non-mining sector. How do we create the environment for the non-mining sector to be confident enough to invest in new plant equipment, technology and the like, and generate those new opportunities and productivities that can come through investment? And then the final challenge that I'll address very briefly is the policy challenge, and the policy challenge that I wanted to highlight here is climate change. The state government has committed to a net zero emissions target by 2050, and that will, I'm sure, be explained more as part of its climate policy that it will release later this year, I think. ACIL Allen has been engaged to support the government developing up a long-term projections around the baseline greenhouse gas emissions, and I can't really speak on those projections at this stage, but we can look at the past to give you a guide of as to how big a challenge addressing climate change from a policy perspective is. When you look at that trend line there, Western Australia's greenhouse gas emissions are growing absolutely, and also as a share of the national economy in terms of its emissions. The sources of those emissions are spelt out there in the chart. I won't go into those in great detail, but underpinning those emission sources and really the big driver behind the growth in our emissions of in recent years has been the evolution, the emergence of our world-class industry. Now, that is a sector that generates emissions in extracting that resource and exporting it. And ironically, it's while it comes with large emissions in the extraction, it actually supports the global push to reduce emissions because of it being a relatively cleaner fuel. Now, we don't want to ever see the state damage that economic opportunity it comes with the growth in our world-class resources sector, but it does highlight the challenges that we face, the policy challenges in which we face to help reduce those emissions over time. If we were to just reach our Kyoto target, for example, we'd need to reduce our emissions from 2017 levels by around a third. Now, that's a significant effort and requires some deep thinking from a policy perspective. So very briefly, in terms of the growth agenda, overall, despite the challenges that we face, we are heading into an upswing phase, leveraging off what's going on in the resources sector, and that gives me some comfort to, I guess, be confident that the next phase of growth is right on our doorstep, not only from an external perspective, but from a domestic perspective. And driving that is, and looking behind those numbers, it really comes down to business investment activity. That is starting to pick up. If we look at the long-term investment pipeline in the state, there's around $160 billion worth of investment activity that's either currently under construction or slated to be constructed over the next few years. Now, that is a significant number, and if you take out the projects that are already underway, the remaining projects are equivalent to around four times the amount of investment that was undertaken in this state last financial year. So it is a big pipeline of projects that, and with that comes job opportunities, comes and downstream effects to other parts of the economy as well. So there's some upside there. It's driven out of resources, as you can see there in the chart to the right. But there's also some productivity-enhancing infrastructure that is built into that outlook as well, with transport and storage, largely leveraging off the state and federal government's election commitments and budget commitments that also brings with it some potential long-term benefits from a productivity perspective. And then finally, the state, from a state fiscal position, I think it's also important to reflect on that. The state is in a very strong fiscal position now. Budgeted surpluses of a reasonable magnitude are now projected for the state, and that has helped reduce debt levels, but also it provides that capacity, the opportunity for the state to be a strategic investor where that is needed, particularly if it's looking to marry up those areas of opportunity that we spoke about earlier with the financial capacity to do that. So that puts us in a very strong position. Let's just hope that that doesn't get whittled away during an election year or during an election campaign. With that in mind, look, I thank you for your time. I've probably gone a minute over. I apologise for that. I've spoken really fast. But if you do want to speak to me or the team, I'd be happy to speak to you out of the session. Thank you very much.